It's time for Twig This Week in Google. We'll talk about the latest moves by Google. And a very interesting conversation about a recent blog post by Kathy Sierra. Jeff Jarvis is here. Gina Trapani. We'll talk about the new HTC Periscope as well. It's all coming up next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twig.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 270, recorded October 8th, 2014, The Jarvis Virus. This Week in Google is brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is the best way to buy and manage domain names. It's simple, honest, and easy to use. For 10% off your first purchase, go to Hover.com and enter the promo code TWIG10. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free 2-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIG. And by Citrix GoToMeeting, the proven solution for meeting and collaborating online. If you sign up for GoToMeeting before October 10th, you'll get another Citrix product free for 6 months. Visit GoToMeeting.com and get started today. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show that covers Google, the cloud, Facebook, the Twitterverse, and all that jazz. Here they are, our regular hosts, back again. Gina Trapani from smarterware.org, and that's her blog. And, of course, ThinkUp, that's her product. And, of course, All About Android, that's her show.
Hello.
Hello. Also here,
Happy
Jeff.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Jeff Jarvis from the City University of New York, CUNY.
Welcome back, mate.
Hey, thank you. I love London.
It's a great city. Yeah, did you have a good time? Looked like you had a good time.
I had a great time.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. What was the best thing you did?
Evensong at St. Paul's.
Oh,
so nice. You know, you go to St. Paul's, which is the beautiful cathedral Christopher Wren built in the 17th century. It's in the old town, the city of London, and it's just a beautiful cathedral. And then you can go up to the dome, which is really cool and a beautiful view. Did a bunch of panos. And then at 5 o'clock, they do Evensong. And I was going to do Evensong either at Westminster Abbey or St. Paul's. But we were at St. Paul's. And it was so neat. So at 5 o'clock, they chased the tourists out. And I said, but we want to stay for the service. They said, oh, yes, of course. So you sit there very nicely. And then the minister came over and said, we've got 70 seats in the choir. You know, that's the wooden, the Q-U-I-R-E. The wooden seats that the lords and ladies, it was where the royal wedding was held, not Kate and Harry's or Will's or whoever, but Charles and Diana's wedding was. So you remember probably that all the fancy people are sitting in these beautiful wooden seats.
Uncomfortable, so, no doubt, but
yeah,
cool.
And creaky. But we all got, 70 of us got to sit there, and then the boys' choir comes in, and they're sitting there, right there next to you and singing, and it was the most beautiful thing.
Oh, wow.
So
neat.
Yeah, it's really great.
Really neat.
Really enjoyed that. It was very, very beautiful to hear a boys' choir, a really good boys' choir up close. Also, changing the guard was fun, of all things.
Oh, yeah.
You were a tourist.
I did all the tourist stuff. I did the London Eye, you bet.
I like the Eye. I mean, yeah, you know.
I love the Eye.
Giant thing in the middle of the, but
I
it's
wouldn't like
incredible
that at all.
Views.
It's like a bridge.
It's not scary.
Into a round thing.
It moves so slowly that they don't stop it
for
you to get on.
Yeah, you're stuck up there. My palm starts waiting. I'll be stuck up there for an hour.
You're not stuck. It moves. It's like this is half an hour, and it goes all the way around.
I don't
around.
Like things that happen slowly either.
It's like, right. Like,
you know what?
Do it or move or don't, right?
I am with you.
Me out.
I am with you. Some comic said a Ferris wheel combines, I think it was Jimmy Fallon, the worst of both worlds, terror and boredom. It was fun. And then Tower of London and, you know, just all the usual tourist things. It was really a double-decker bus.
Yeah, you really did it up. What did you have?
We only had 4 days. I had Toad in a Hole. Didn't have Bangers and Mash. I had Toad in a Hole, which is a sausage stuck into a Yorkshire pudding surrounded by mashed potatoes. So it's kind of like everything.
Wow.
That's the only English thing I had. Everything else, we went to French restaurants.
Yeah.
And wonderful food. The food in London is fabulous.
Food in London now. Going from a horrible, horrible food city to a great food city, it's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Had a great time. I love London. And I apologize because so many people so kindly asked to, you know, I got an email from a guy who drives the tube, drives an underground car, and said, would you like to ride in front of the train sometime? And, I mean, just so many people said, would you like to come up in the Gherkin or the Shard? We were there for such a short time that we just did the tourist thing, and that was it. It was just Lisa and me, just hardcore touristy. We didn't. The only weird thing is we're walking real quickly down the street. We have a restaurant reservation. We're going over to the West End. And Will Harris is like at a bar just standing there. The one guy I know lives in England. He says, hey. And I said, Will. Gave him a hug, and then we got to go. So that's it. All right, let's talk. Right now, as we speak, HTC is doing another bizarre event. They've announced a new design. Is it the Desire Eye phone, which is an all-plastic, waterproof HTC phone with 13 megapixel out. Remember now, the HTC One is, they made a big deal about having 4 megapixels, but they're ultra pixels. Now they've finally realized nobody wanted that. So it's 13 megapixels in the back, but also 13 megapixels in the front and flash on both sides. So it's the ultimate selfie cam.
Without gimmicks, right? It's like the ultimate selfie. It's just a good front-facing camera.
Right.
Which is all you really need for a good selfie. No flip-out screens, no crazy software, blah, blah, blah. It's just a 13-megapixel camera for front-facing.
As it should be. They are, you know, HTC's famous for the software that they add in their phones. You have an HTC One, but you're using the Google Play Edition, or you used to anyway.
I used to, right. I've got the OnePlus One right now, but yeah, I was using the HTC One M8. It got destroyed by the infant I live with, but I loved it. Great phone. but that, the 13 megapixel front and back, that's something I really would like. That appeals to the selfie.
What did you manage to do to it to destroy a phone? It's not actually easy to destroy a phone, except of course an iPhone. But
it isn't. That's a solid phone. You know, I heard her banging something really hard on the floor and like didn't look up fast enough.
Oh.
To catch. Like she was really like, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And then the screen just never came on after that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Etta's got some real skills.
Yeah, she's good. Oh, she loves the phone. She always wants the phone. She wants the phone. She wants the tablet. But yeah, we had to have a few discussions about not banging it on the floor. You know, we naturally sort of use, you know, like tend to handle these devices with a little bit of reverence. Even me, I mean, I'm against cases. I feel like these computers are here for us to use. I want the computer to be there for me and not for me to adapt to the computer. But I still am sort of very carefully handle it. She has no such instincts about it.
It's very telling, isn't it? It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. HTC also announced they're going to do new software, new camera software for all HTC One owners. And a new Zoe will be on iPhone as well as Android. And that's a good idea. I think the Zoe, which is one of the features I really like about the HTC One, it takes a movie and stills at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really nice feature, and it would be great on an iPhone. So we'll keep watching and let you know if anything else is announced. But HTC doing its event right now. And we're HTC
fans. Is the fashion show still on?
We were watching just before the show. And I just don't understand why these companies do this. Who's that to appeal to? You got a bunch of 50 tech journalists. They don't want to see a fashion show, especially bad fashion.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like, just get a great speaker with a lot of personality. Someone like you, Leo, who's got just a great voice and can project enthusiasm but sort of clearly explain something. It doesn't have to be the CEO necessarily. In fact, I don't know. Sometimes I think it shouldn't be the CEO.
No.
It shouldn't be. Just get someone good who explains what the product is and that's it. Show it.
Yeah,
period.
It's kind of weird.
It's weird.
Yeah.
But I think it's a partially a cultural, you know, it's a cultural thing too.
I guess. I don't get it.
Some idea that it's got to be a big show.
Yeah, mock show. Well, we'll try to parse the fashion show and give you the actual tech facts as they emerge.
Parse the fashion show.
What is they talking about? Why are they doing this? Why? Well, we could talk phones. Moto X. Now, you guys, you're still using the OnePlus One. And I have to say, I'm really tempted to go back to the OnePlus One for one reason. The battery life, the 20-hour battery life was so nice. This is 12.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Leo.
12 doesn't make it. I don't care if you get a leather back.
I'm spoiled by this battery. This is the one thing they did really well on this thing.
The One is kind of very generic, right? It's just like it doesn't scream anything.
It has no soul.
It has no soul, but it goes all day.
It has a hacker soul.
Yeah.
But talk to me about the hint. That's what I want to hear about, Leo.
I couldn't get it to work.
Jason had it last night, but he said, this has been in Leo's ear, and I am not going to put it in my ear.
Well, then so I wanted it back.
I'll talk to him about it on Twig.
So, yeah, I got the hint. So, I of the three, I like the Moto 360 the best. I think it is the best smartwatch of all out there right now.
Agreed.
The phone, if it had good battery life, would be good. I did a review on Before You Buy, and I wasn't able... I had reprogrammed it to be something like OK Moto X, and it never would... It just wouldn't wake up. So I went back to OK Google Now. OK Google Now. Well, it's still not listening very well.
Didn't you change it to wake up?
No, I changed it back. It said for best results...
Like forgetting your password, yeah. Is there a way to remind yourself of the word you put in?
Yes. Oh, no. In fact, they say they make you enter it in as text before you go on because they know that you will forget what it is. And, you know, people are, you know, a lot of the people at Motorola were going, hello, Jarvis. One thing I've learned from the new iPhone, you know, the new iPhone wakes up when you say, hey, Siri, but only if it's under power. And one thing I've learned from that is that's too short a phrase. Because it wakes up when I'm listening to an audiobook. It wakes up when I'm talking. It wakes up when President Obama says the word Syria on the TV. Siri goes, what? What? So that's too short. So and they say this on the Moto X when you're programming it. In fact, they'll even say, no, that's too short. More syllables is better. And probably more distinct syllables. But it doesn't work very well. And the hint.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Try that. Okay. Okay, Google Now. Yeah, there it worked.
That's five syllables, Leo.
Okay, Google Now. Yeah.
You count fast, Gina.
Okay, Google Now. Yeah, now it's working reliably.
That's a lot of talking.
Well, I know. I wanted to say, okay, Moto X. That wasn't very reliable. Anyway, okay, Google Now seems to work. And you train it and blah, blah, blah. It's calling somebody. No, stop. Seriously, please. Didn't it do it, Chad, when I was doing the review and Before You Buy, it started calling.
Yeah.
Chad said, you're in a phone call. I said, what? And I had to hang up. Well, whatever. I'm sorry. Butt dial. So the hint is the earpiece that makes the full set. So you got the watch, you got the phone, you got the earpiece, you got the full legendary armor set. The hint is very small, has no microphone protrusion or anything. It just fits in your ear like a little gauge.
That's not it.
Fall out easily.
This is not it. Is Jason here? No, it doesn't fall out. It's pretty good. You kind of screw it in. And has a face that will, if you wish, match the back. I got the brown cognac leather, so it matched it. Which doesn't really make you look more fashionable. It just makes you look kind of weird.
Yeah.
And you can get fabric.
But not as weird as the generic Bluetooth dongle.
And it doesn't blink blue. It's pretty unobtrusive. And the sound is pretty good. The problem is the microphone is in your ear, so it never does seem to respond. Can somebody go on Jason's desk and steal my hint back? John will do it. Because I want to show you. Battery life, obviously, on something the size of a dime isn't very long, 3 hours. But then you get a container that you put it in that has two more charges. So you charge the container overnight. Did you find it? Yeah. You charge the container overnight. And then when you're not using the hint, which, by the way, will be dead now because it discharges even when it's not in your ear. So you put it in here.
Oh, so you have to charge it like two or three times a day?
Yeah.
That's what that blinking is?
Yeah. Well, that's another problem, by the way.
That's a charger. Whoa. So the charger's cool. That thing looks cool.
It's a good idea.
It's a good idea, but I didn't realize you have to take that thing out of your ear and stick it in the charger two or three times a day.
3 hours of talk time.
It gets all waxy.
Talk time. Okay.
It doesn't
okay.
get waxy. It's not waxy.
I'm just joking. I know. That looks pretty. There's some yellow something on there.
No, the yellow is the pogo pins for the.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fine. All right.
Oh, we're getting real. That's a quite a close up.
And nice. But I'm not sure which is the microphone. I think that's the microphone. And the problem is that's in your ear. You can touch this, so it'll work with any Bluetooth capable what's that, phone.
What's that little jammy on the outer on the brown part? There's like a little hole there.
I don't know if that's the mic or this is the mic. There's two different okay. ports. And maybe that's just a light. I don't know. You can tap it and wake the phone up, but you can also, if it's attached to a Moto X, say, okay, Google Now or whatever your phrase is. Although I never was able to get that working because the microphone's stuck in your ear. So then I called my daughter and she said, I can't, what? Can't what? Hello?
Oh, no.
So I think that's going to be retired. Oh, and okay, one more complaint. It does, you see it's glowing. When it's charging the device, it'll go solid when it's fully charged. That's really bright. It doesn't look bright in here, but in a darkened bedroom, that's a flashlight.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's that bright. And so this...
And it's the breathing. Yeah.
And it's breathing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That is not conducive to sleep.
Yeah. There's a Mac, I forget, not the recent models, but there was a model of Mac that did that when it was charging. It would breathe and it would make my better half crazy. She would cover it in shirts. Like she would just like, it could not be in the bedroom.
This can't be in the bedroom.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. You have to charge this in another room.
Yeah.
But it makes it easy to find on the bright side. It also senses that it's in your ear. So you don't have to push any buttons. It just made some music. Oh.
Because the thing that upsets me most about earpieces is that when I'm trying to hold it in my ear so I can hear better, of course, that's the off button.
Wait a minute. It's telling me go to Bluetooth menu on device to complete pairing. So because it's not paired, I'm going to go to Bluetooth and I'm going to say pair this, search for devices. So that's the nice thing. Pairing is very easy, very quick. It's going to be paired. It'll pair to up to two different phones. So you could pair this. If you had another phone, or actually, I paired it to my computer.
Hmm.
Okay, so now it's saying paired. Wants to access my address book. So let's just see now. Okay, Google Now. Hey, it's working. Maybe I just had a phrase that wasn't great. Okay, Google Now. Okay, Google Now. While watch is listening, you should speak to it. What?
Your watch was what? Responded, not that.
Oh, I have too many things listening. Okay, Google Now. Oh, see, the watch is responding.
The watch is doing it.
Oh, crap. Okay, they obviously haven't fully thought this out yet. People say the reviews have been fairly positive, but I don't think it's because I think the reviewers actually haven't used it. I don't think it's usable. So that's too bad. I mean, but on the other hand, remember, when you're using stuff like this, you're on the cutting edge, you're using new stuff, and you can expect some bumps along the way. I wouldn't recommend this for somebody who just wants a Bluetooth earpiece. I was listening to an audiobook. It was great because it's so small. It just sits there. It's kind of fun. All right. The reason I bring this up is because next week, right? That's the rumor, right, Jeff? Next week, Shamu comes out.
Rumor.
Mm-hmm. Nexus 6. Which is rumored to be a almost 6-inch version of this, the Moto X,
with great specs.
A better, more RAM, 3 gigs of RAM, bigger screen, 5.9-inch I think screen.
5.9.
It's pretty big.
Nine.
Still smaller than the Mondo 6, right? The iPhone.
Yeah, still smaller than the iPhone 6 Plus. They have big bezels. I like big bezels. I cannot lie.
No. The 6 Plus is 5.5, isn't it?
I thought it's 5.5 inches, but the total phone size is bigger than the rumored size for Shamu because of the bezels.
Okay. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Anyway, if it has better battery life, it might be a good pick. Because I'll tell you what, if this had the same battery life as the OnePlus One, I'd say it's equivalent to or even maybe better because it listens. You know, I like this. I like the little things that it does. I'm sorry that they went to 5.2 inches. 4.7 was really great. But... Mm.
Yeah, the battery life on the OnePlus One is pretty great. I'm pretty spoiled at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think about it anymore.
That's the one thing.
Go ahead, Jeff.
No, that was it.
That's the one thing?
That's the one thing about the OnePlus One.
Battery. Yeah. By the way, the OnePlus One screen is I believe, and others do too, the same part as in the iPhone 5, 6 Plus.
Really?
It's exactly the same size. It's definitely, it's got all the same specs as the same. I think it's the same part. It's the in-cell touch and all of that stuff. So if you asked me what I should do, what you should do, I'd say wait for Shamu and see.
I think that's where I'm heading, yep.
Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with the OnePlus One. And for the price,
it's still
that's the phone to go. Go with. And I'm sad to say, I was such high hopes for the Moto X. I'm going to keep using it because hope springs eternal.
I give you a little, a small watch update.
Yes.
So if you have the latest update on the watch itself, yeah, you can now turn ambient back on and it will last all day.
I did that, and you're right.
They fixed the battery,
yes,
pretty well.
Yes.
Yeah, that latest update really did make a huge difference.
And then I found a little program called Intellicon Watch Face. Have you played with some of the third-party Watch Face apps?
No, not yet.
This one's great because it lets you, you can have a Ferrari logo. It adds some features. This is the battery life of the watch is displayed on the watch now. You can have this stay awake for 5 seconds or 10 seconds after you turn it on. That, of course, will kill the battery. And that is, you can, programmable. That's East Coast time, as you probably recognize, since it's your time. Yeah. So, and all of this is programmable. So you can make any face you want, which is kind of nice.
So I'm going to be in Seoul next week.
Yes.
And the LGR goes on sale in Korea on Monday.
You should pick it up.
Ooh, you should. $250.
I think it's expensive, right? $250, something like that.
Is it? Well, I haven't bought one yet. So, you know, I got two free.
Come on, you better. The LGR, it's the round one.
Yeah, yeah. And no flat tire problem because it has the watch.
Well, it has a flat tire. You just can't see it.
Well, yeah, but that's clever.
I don't know if that's...
The flat tire doesn't exist if no one can see it.
It doesn't bother me. I would rather see more of the watch and have the flat tire than less of the watch with no flat tire. In effect, it's got a flat tire all the way around. The bezel's hiding...
Because it's a thicker bezel, yeah.
Yeah, all the way around. I think that's... I don't know. All right, so there's your phone wrap-up. Really, I was just stealing all about Android's thunder. I'm sure you talked about all of this last night.
We did. We did talk about a lot of it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
We're interested in Android. But let's talk about Google. What do you say? We're going to do that in a second. But I'm going to take a break. As soon as we come back, we'll have some Google stuff, and we'll have their Google changelog. I want to ask you about some fascinating journalistic stories, Jeff Jarvis, because you're our king of journalism. I presume you both read Kathy Sierra's post of yesterday.
Yeah.
No, I forgot to.
God.
Okay, while I'm doing the ad, Jeff, run to, what is her pony? Serious Pony?
Serious Pony.
SeriousPony.com. Run to Serious Pony and read it. She says she's going to take it down soon, so you might want to read it now, Jeff. And we could talk about that a little bit, too.
I'll drop it in the doc, Jeff.
It's more of that troll stuff, Jeff. And it's just, it breaks my heart. Just breaks my heart. And
I think it may be down.
Really?
Presentation skills considered harmful?
No.
She didn't link to it from her blog. It was kind of like a hidden link.
Oh, maybe it's hidden. Okay.
I'll hunt that down. You do the reading.
It's in the chat room, too. Patterson just posted it in the chat room. Our show today brought to you by our friends at Hover.com, H-O-V-E-R. When you have a great idea, what's the first thing you say to yourself? At least in this digital era, what I say is, let's get the domain name right. You want something catchy. You want something memorable. Online identity is so important. In fact, nowadays people don't name a company. Sometimes they don't even name their kids without checking first to see if they get the domain name. Well, Hover's the place to go to get the job done. You'll find the perfect domain for your idea so you can get to work on it. And right now is the perfect time to start a new project. Hover has just lowered the price on more than 200 domain name extensions, including many TLDs. They also reduced the price for new .com domain names. It's now $12.99. You might say, well, wait a minute, I can get it for less than that. But they'll upsell you. Hover does not do that. They include who is privacy free. So when you add up the prices, you'll see Hover is very, very affordable. It's the best price out there. $12.99 for a .com, including Whois Privacy, which you must have nowadays. People love Hover. Geeks, developers, designers, programmers, they all know that Hover is going to give them the domain management tools they want, the email redirection tools they want. It's so easy to use, so easy to find a domain name. All you do is search those keywords, and you'll get a variety of options with many, many different extensions that you can try. Of course, they've got .com, .net. .net's a good one to try if you haven't can't get the .com, but also .ninja, .everything. This week in Google, let's search for it, Chad. Oh, look, see, it's searching now through 237 different top-level domains. They take all the friction and hassle out of registering your domain. Can't get thisweekingGoogle.com, what a surprise, but you can get .net, .org, .info, .link, .xyz website today. Zone biz, thisweekingGoogle.city. I like it. Guru. There's all sorts of great choices at hover.com. They even offer a free valet transfer service if you've already got the domain name, but you want to take advantage of their excellent management system and their good way of doing business. You can transfer all of your existing domains over for free. They do it all for you. They let you know when your domains are settled in your Hover account. They'll transfer the DNS settings. No additional cost, no matter how many domain names you have. You pay $10 for a year's renewal. That's really great. Hover's honest. They don't believe in heavy-handed upselling. They include everything you need, no more, no less. You even get custom email address and a smart control panel, so you can manage those domains easily. And if you ever need it, Hover has the best customer support around. There are no wait, no hold, no transfer phone services. The envy of the industry. Volume discounts, too, on your domain name renewals, starting at just 10 names and going up in value from there. Visit Hover.com to register your domain name today. And to get 10% off your purchase, use the offer code TWIG10, T-W-I-G-1-0, TWIG10. And you get 10% off at Hover.com. Thank you, Hover. Nice guys, too. Nice guys and gals. A well-run site. Tell us who Kathy Sierra is, Gina.
Kathy is a technologist and an author of many educational programming books for years and years and years, early blogger.
Great writer. Powerful writer.
Great speaker, a teacher. I would call her a teacher, but in technology. And long story short, 2007, she is, you know, people are starting to pay attention to her work because she does really good work, and she gets trolled by an infamous troll and horribly attacked by tons of people who dox her and publish her social security number and home address and a bunch of lies about her her family and her kids and her work. And she goes offline because she's afraid for her safety and for her family's safety. And she comes back online, oh, I don't know, last year, 2013, yeah. I think, under a different handle, Serious Pony, and starts to publish a little bit more. And I don't know, maybe I should pass this over to you. Her troll was involved in a court case.
Weave,
was involved in a court case.
And this is the thing, and this is where I got in a little bit of trouble, because the case against Weave was terrible. It was another one of those yes. Department of Justice bogus prosecutions.
Right. It was a Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. Right. It was overreach. I mean, it was a terrible lawsuit. But this guy's.
But
also
Weave
is a
hideous person.
He's hideous. Exactly.
He was the guy who apparently doxxed Kathy Sierra. He admitted it in New York Times. Now he denies it.
Yeah, now he denies it. He admitted it.
Not a nice person, really kind of in many ways, and she talks about this, not just a troll, but a sociopathic troll with real skills. That's kind of yes. the worst possible.
Extremely smart, extremely manipulative, just a constant liar. And, you know, what got hard, what got difficult for her, and what I can't imagine must have been surreal for her is that, you know, a lot of people in the tech community were against the case against him, right? Because it was a bad case against him, separate from
We were torn because this was, you know, it turned out AT&T had misconfigured its servers, and you could get emails of customers, iPad users. very simply with a script. So he did it. He downloaded something like 114,000 addresses. As far as anybody knows, never did anything malicious with them, although that doesn't, I mean, given his personality, I don't know. But the prosecution seemed misguided, and they were really going for the works. On the other hand, it's hard not to celebrate this getting this guy in jail because he's a creep.
Right, because he's a horrible creep. Yeah.
Anyway, what she's talking about in this, and it's a very powerful article, is how, you know, this happened to her 10 years ago.
And the hell doesn't go away.
And it's gotten worse and worse. And yeah, and she's making an interesting point because, you know, I'm the one who says, well, just ignore them. They'll go away. And she says it doesn't work.
She has a great list here. You know, your choices. One, leave, they win. Two, ignore them. They escalate, make your life more miserable. DDoS, ruin your career, etc. They win. Three, fight back. If you've already hit the Kool-Aid point, which I'll describe in a second, see option two, they win. The Kool-Aid point is brilliant. I think it's a real insightful point, which is that it's not so much that your troll hates you, the troll hates the attention you're getting. And you don't deserve that. And you're all wrong.
Especially if you're a woman. Especially if you're a woman in tech. Then you really don't deserve it.
Right.
That's the logic.
And so this campaign of discrediting, you know, begins. You slept your way to the top. You made all this up. You're actually, you know, whatever. All the things. And actually, Anita Sarkeesian did this great talk at XOXO about how the ways in which trolls kind of discredit women and all those things were done to Kathy. Just lies, basically, about her. And things would escalate. Like, she posted this blog comment on a blog saying that she supported people who moderated their blog comments, and that escalated into this giant lie about how she had issued DMCA complaints against websites and had people censored, and so she herself was a censor and against, like, net, you know, a free and open web. And people would just, these stories would just sort of grow, and the meme would catch on, and then suddenly she was someone who hated, you know, a free and open web because she had said in a blog comment she thought someone should be able to moderate the comments on their own blog. I mean, like, insane, surreal, I cannot believe what this woman has been through kind of moments.
And the thing, I mean, it is, it's surreal and it's beyond appalling and disgusting, and she's felt, you know, fear for her life and such, and it's the extreme.
Well, but it's not really an outlier. That's the point.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is it might seem like an extreme, and there's a lot of that, but there's also a lot that's short of that that is also irritating and difficult and not good for the net.
Well, and if you wonder why there aren't more women in tech, because I think there are very few women, publicly visible women in tech, who haven't experienced this in some form or fashion. Am I right?
Very few. Very, very few. Yeah, you know, one of our ThinkUp's investors DM'd me and said, "Have you ever experienced anything like this? It just seems like, you know, it seems like you're a little more visible. Is this common?" And I was like, "Oh, I can tell you stories." And I've talked about it a little bit here, and I won't go into my whole thing. But I love that Kathy made... She differentiated between, and this is something I know that's like subjective and you know it when you see it, but she differentiated between like being mean to someone and then stalking them, right? There's like saying to someone like, you know, "You're fat and stupid" online is like someone being mean on the internet. Okay, block, ignore, whatever. And then there's like, "I've taken a photo of your child and superimposed them on a porn image and published that." Or you know, "I've published your home address and encouraged other people, egged other people on to go show up there," right? And there's a difference between those two things. A big
She talks
difference.
About trolls posting flashing images in epileptic forums designed to put people in fits.
Yeah, and to induce seizures.
To induce seizures. And it's for the lulz, and that makes it okay. And people go, "Oh, boy, that's terrible, but it's sure funny." It's not. It's horrible. It's horrible behavior. And the reason I bring it up, you know, I mean, look, if you're a celebrity, if you're a movie star, this happens all the time, and the general thing is just not to mention it. And not to, you know, you have security. You'll go to the police, you know, if there's a fear for your life or a tangible threat, and they will, because you're a celebrity, they will prosecute. And we see that happen. But what we don't see happen is this kind of continuous drumbeat that goes on all the time. what's changed is now, first of all, it's many, 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 many more people are exposed to it. And the tools for doing it, like, and Twitter comes up again and again in this, and Kathy talks about Twitter, our new technological tools really facilitate this. And it, and I'm starting to feel like we're taking a really bad turn here.
A couple weeks ago, I said, you know, we had the case of the naked celebrity photos and the beheading videos, and I argued on the show. I don't know if it was last week when you were off, Leo, but I argued that, that we might be hitting a point where I saw people say it's wrong to share them, it's wrong to look at them, and I saw the beginnings of a norm come out. That's among civilized people. There's a huge swath of people who aren't civilized or who are, in fact, and we've had this story on too, trolls are psychopaths.
She says that as well, that Weave is a sociopath.
I'm gonna get in huge trouble here because I'm gonna make an equivalency that I don't mean to make at all, okay? And I don't also want to mention this guy again at all. But my little mini thing of my imposter who promised to change the name hasn't. No. Not a man of his word. He just went into LO and used my name there. you know, this is a guy who has a respectable job in a company with trust in its name. That's all I'll say. And I can't trust him. He is not a man of his word. He's a lying little creep. And now when I say that, guess what's going to happen? I'll get crap now for, I don't have any humor and I'm not this. F you all. You know, it's just the fact that people think they have a right to irritate other people. The fact that if you're in any, the weirdest part, the pathology of this is interesting to me, is that if you are in the least bit famous, people think that they can go after you. By least bit famous now means that you publish anything to the public. That means if you have a Twitter account. It means if you have a blog.
And that's kind of what Kathy Sierra is saying, is just by sticking your head up in the world means that people are going to want to try to cut you down. And
yes.
Especially if you're a woman who sticks her head up, that's really not okay.
Right.
Yeah, and for the first time in history and in culture, we have a whole group of people who are like famous enough to not have bodyguards,
right,
but famous enough to have stalkers, right? Like,
right.
And the system isn't built to deal with them. And I, you know, I went to the police when I had my guy, and they couldn't do anything. You know, like you have to have whatever. I won't go into the details, but they really basically are just not equipped and can't help you unless
that's what she says. She says they're not interested. Yeah.
They're not interested. They're not equipped, and you know, there's bigger things going on in the world.
Couldn't or wouldn't, you know?
You know,
it's a little both.
Leo, you went through this a little bit when the issue happened with your daughter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have to have a documentation of a credible threat within your state, and it has to be said in a certain way that there's no way that you can be misinterpreted any other way. You know, and these guys know how to, you know, skirt the line and send you creepy pictures and write things about you that make you know that they know all these things about you, right, without making a direct threat. I mean, and you know, like the police, they're like, print out the emails and the tweets. I mean, literally, like that's what goes on. That's the level that they're at. So it's useless. Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence said it's a sex crime. It's not even a crime. It's a sex crime. Yes. I don't know.
Amazing response. Her response to that whole situation, the fact that she said that was a sex crime and anyone who looked at my photos without my permission was perpetuating that crime. That was just such a huge, I mean, she's the first celebrity, you know, every other celebrity is generally women, right, who's had leaked nudes have apologized. Oh, it was a lapse in judgment. I'm very sorry. They were shameful. Scarlett Johansson kind of played it all. It was a Scarlett Johansson. I forget which one was like, oh, I know my best angle, was kind of coy about it. I love that Jennifer Lawrence came straight up and said, I was about to write an apology. And then I thought, I don't have anything to apologize for. This was a sex crime. That was an incredible. That interview was in Vanity Fair.
Ironically, owned by the same company that owns Reddit, which I doubt she knew.
She might have thought about
going somewhere else to do this, but nevertheless, it got the attention it deserved, and you can't disagree with her. Here's the reason I bring this up: I had such high hopes for the internet as being a democratizing medium. And a number of people said, even in the earliest days, yeah, but it's going to give people who shouldn't have a voice. And I always said, you know, if it's in the light of day, this stuff, the really bad stuff has to stay under a rock to survive. In the light of day, in the free, you know, agora, the marketplace, it'll go away. It'll shrivel up. It'll dry up in the sun. and the true nature of humans will triumph. And I'm afraid I was really wrong. And it's very sad to me.
I'm not ready to give up. Not by a long shot. I point to the Jennifer Lawrence case. I think that people, all in all, rallied around. You didn't see them spread all around. You heard people say, no, don't even look at them. That would be wrong. There are always going to be trolls, assholes, sickos, creeps, idiots, crud buckets in the world. Right? They're always going to be there. They always have been. They always will be. Now, you're right. Is your point you're making. The internet makes them more visible. Only because we link to them. Only because we say, hey, look at fight. Look over at that.
Well, don't we need to...
It's not their fault.
You said norms would fix this. But norms aren't fixing this.
Not yet, no. But I'm saying, but this takes time. You know, insert Gutenberg lecture here. 150 years to invent the newspaper. It takes time for these norms to take over. When I was researching the Telegraph, and I've got, you know, from 1858 to 1885, they still hadn't figured it out.
Yeah.
The Telegraph was still causing people problems. There were still, oh my God, people were getting married over the Telegraph, and this is dangerous. Women have to stay away from the Telegraph. 1865, women have to stay away from the Telegraph because it'll expose them to the coarse corners of the world. A New York Times letter said.
Yeah, but imagine what that New York Times writer would think today about the coarse corners of the world.
Yeah, but A, don't forget. Part of the problem is, so I spent my flight back from San Francisco last week writing an essay that I'm trying to place somewhere in German media. I'm starting with the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung about the German problem. And at the end of it, what I argue is that we've got to also have a discussion about the wonder. And the entire discussion now has been taken over by the techno-panics and the protectionists and the controllers and the negatives and the trolls. There's also amazing and wonderful things going on with this net. And I argue that we ought to have, I've said on the show before, a world's fair of the net. Yes, there's crap, but there's also a countervailing wonder that's occurring that we're ignoring. We're not talking about. We're looking at all the bad stuff that comes up. We're allowing that to win the conversation. And we're also, it's the fault of the public for giving exposure to trolls, imposters, bozos, etc.
People need to get indignant and instead of saying, and Kathy Sierra points this out, there's just kind of this general, there must be some merit to what he's saying kind of a thing.
Right. Because you're public and public people deserve this.
Yeah.
You put yourself out there. So you're exposed. So what happens to slap you in the face, you deserve. Obviously wrong, obviously ridiculous, and we need more discussions. I mean, I'll make another horrid, ridiculous equivalency that I don't mean to make equivalent. But what do we hear in the discussion about terrorism and Islam? Well, why don't we hear more Islamists? Well, we do. But what gets attention is the terrorists. It's the fault of media to a great extent. It's the fault of conversations. And you know, when you look at in London, there were stories that when the Brit was beheaded, the Muslim community in the UK expressed outrage. Okay, so there's a story where it got there. You know it's always been there. No doubt about that.
There's a hashtag, not in our name.
Yes, right. So it used the tools to try to turn around and
we need more of that.
Exactly. And we need the same thing with trolls. We need to. The problem is, this was where you get into the Kathy Sierra, you know, horrible thing here. The first step is we all have to ignore them. If you point to a troll, you are equally guilty of whatever that troll has done, full stop. You are complicit in a troll's crime. Oh, isn't that funny? Look at the fight. Oh, it's just funny. It's just lols. No, sucker. You just did it yourself. You were an accomplice to the crime. If you look at pictures of Jennifer Lawrence, you are committing a sex crime. She's right. If you can't look at child porn because it's wrong, then how can you look at the stolen photo and say it's right? You are responsible for the behavior. So at a level of ignoring, we have to get to there. Then there's the question of, do we get to a level of condemnation? Does that just give the trolls what they want? Oh, I kicked up a storm. Maybe. But at least we have to get to the level of ignoring. And what we have to do is, rather than shaming the troll, shame the people who point to the troll. And I've done that. I've gone to people and I've said, did you really want to give that guy attention? Did you really want to do that? And then reasonable people say, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. I was wrong. So we all have a responsibility to do that. So shame, ignore the trolls, and shame the troll promoters.
And that's using social norms to correct
us.
And
the only thing that's going to happen.
If we don't succeed at this.
No technology.
If we don't succeed at this, everybody worthwhile is going to pull back. We're going to lose the discourse. We're going to lose the potential of the internet. It'll become a wasteland because anybody who has any sense will just stay out of the public eye.
Yes.
And you don't want that.
You don't.
And you want women in the game industry. You want women in technology. You don't want all women just to say, God, this is a crappy place to be. I don't want to participate.
Well, you know, it's funny. That's the kind of the insight that I had about all this. And I have to say that Kathy's that essay she wrote really was
everybody should read it. If you have any doubt, if you say, oh no, this isn't that bad, read it and then decide.
It was definitely a bit of a reckoning for me, right? Because I mean I build a product whose premise is that participating on the public network is a good thing. Period. Right. And I don't know. I mean, this situation, you know, the more I think about it, the more I wonder about that. I mean, I do believe that. I want to believe that, but it gets harder when this stuff happens. And one of the insights that I've had is that the social networks that I love and feel safest, especially around sharing, are not public networks. Like my favorite social network is a private mailing list that a friend of mine set up. That is friends of friends. Everybody knows someone else through someone other context, and it's incredible. And I grow from it, and it feeds my soul, and it makes me feel happy, and it makes me feel safe. And I share. And a similar thing, I'm subscribed to a friend of mine who has a tiny letter, which is an email newsletter, and she wrote a response actually to Kathy's post saying that she didn't have a public response, but these are some of the thoughts that are going through her head after reading it three or four times, and that was one of those things. I was like, okay, yes, this is going on. It was a level of discourse that wasn't going on in my public feeds. I mean, part of it is that Twitter isn't fit for long form discourse because it's 140 characters. But it feels like the networks like Twitter and Facebook are more about sort of public performance, whereas the networks where I share with my friends and interact and sort of and learn and grow are semi public, not totally public.
Google at least is responding. A Google spokesperson. This is in the face of an attorney who sent a letter threatening a $100 million lawsuit to Google.
Yeah, does he really represent the stars?
We don't know who he represents. He may not represent anybody. It may be an ambulance chaser. But a Google spokesperson responded saying, we've removed tens of thousands of pictures within hours of the requests being made. We have closed hundreds of accounts. The internet is used for many good things. Stealing people's private photos is not one of them. Typically, they'll wait until they receive a copyright notice. In this case, because it's a violation of community guidelines with respect to nudity and privacy, we're turning this around in days, in hours, not weeks.
And wouldn't it be nice if everyone got the same treatment that Jennifer Lawrence gets?
Well, that's another point somebody made after Robin Williams passed away and his daughter was getting horribly harassed. Then Twitter took action.
Right.
Because
it's a PR issue for the company.
Right. It's a black mark. But when normal people complain, no. And the other thing I came away with was, boy, a huge amount of respect for any woman dares to raise her voice in public these days.
Yes.
And it makes me so sad. You could talk about STEM education and all of that, but boy, it has to start in the public spaces, and it has to be safe.
It does. It's responsibility of all of us and to defend someone. You know, if you're in an office place and you see someone sexually harass a woman and you sit back and don't do anything, you're complicit.
Yep.
Right?
And this is just like that.
In virtual space.
Just like that.
And, you know, there's a discussion in the chat room about well, what about the right to be forgotten, Jarvis? And I was thinking about this today. And my argument, I spoke to a bunch of Germans last night about their problem, as far as I was concerned, and talked about the right to be forgotten. And, you know, my general argument is that there are already laws in place and we don't need laws written to technologies and changing the technology. And that Jennifer Lawrence's photos were stolen and it violated the rules of Google, and Google takes it down. The difference with the right to be forgotten is just someone coming along and saying, well, for whatever reason, I didn't like this. And there isn't a principle at work, except I didn't like it. Now, would it be nice if, Weave's stuff could be erased all across the net? You could argue yes, but you're never going to succeed at that. It's a whack-a-mole game that's never going to end. No erasure and no technology is going to solve that problem. And there are free speech issues. You know, we in America let the Nazis march in Skokie because we know that most people are smart enough to realize that they're the idiots. The problem with the net today, I think, Leo, in your point is we're not acting like the idiots are idiots. We're celebrating the idiots.
Yeah. Somebody's pointing out, and this has happened before in a very small way, in CB radio. Remember CBs? Breaker 19?
Oh, yeah.
It's still around. It's been rebranded as a family radio service. But if you go into those CB channels, it's horrific. It's awful. And it got awful pretty quickly.
Why did that not happen with ham radio?
Because you have to get a license, because you had to pass a test and had to get a license.
Okay.
And maybe even more importantly, and I'll ask the hams because our Ham Nation show is tonight and they're coming into studio. But I think even more importantly, there's a very strong culture in ham radio of following the rules and doing the right thing. And this is okay. And this is not okay. And it's a culture that is perpetuated by the elders in the ham community and passed along. And it's
okay, but stay on that for a second, Leo. You can still have somebody who needs their meds, somebody who's psychopathic. They can pass the test. They're smart. They can get a license, and they can go on ham.
And they'll be very quickly shunned by the ham community.
Okay, but talk about that. What does that mean? Why did that happen in ham? Why not here? Why aren't the grand elders of blogging and tweeting behaving rather than saying, fight?
Well, good. That's what we need to do. You know, I don't know why, but that's what we need to do. I think partly because hams... there's something about hams. The people who are attracted to ham radio are often very public-minded. It's a different. It's a culture that's fascinating. I've always been fascinated.
There were people who wanted to connect with people, and that is the essence of the net too.
Yeah.
But no one had to take a test to get on the internet.
No, right? Or on CB radio. Anybody can do it. And CB is useless now. By the way, it's dead. To anybody except the trolls. This is what happens with these guys, is if you don't do something about it, if you don't weed your garden, then all you have left is weeds. All the flowers die.
Well, and that's Kathy's point about. I had learned that lesson when I ran news sites, and I thought, people comment. Let's let them comment. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. No, it's the broken glass problem, to quote Giuliani. Yeah. You do that long enough, and people will just realize, I can do anything here.
Right. Yeah, right, Judge Giuliani cleaned up New York by getting rid of the squeegee men.
Yes.
Right.
Well, and other minor crimes like broken glass
and graffiti
and broken
windows. 39th Street, the squeegee men tried to drag me out of my car and put my wife into premature labor.
Jeez.
It was not so minor. These were scum bucket people who were there, they're just cleaning your window. Yeah. No. And if you didn't pay them, they tried to go after you.
Wow. Well, New York went through a real renaissance after this small policing effort, putting more cops on the street and not ignoring minor crimes. And maybe that's what I bring both of these up because maybe these are models for what we need to do on the internet.
It's kind of a different thing, though, isn't it? Right. I mean, there's no government. There's no police.
No,
force.
But we can do it. We keep our neighborhood up. We keep our neighborhood up. We do this in our chat room, by the way, because we learn very quickly. If you don't immediately ban people who are even just taking the subject off topic, the thing disintegrates. And most IRC is like that. If you go in a normal IRC chat room, it's like, But we got, thank goodness, 12 or 13 or 15 or 20 great moderators, all volunteers, who keep it on point. And that makes a big difference. And people often bridle. They say, free speech, I should be able to get to do whatever I want. And no.
Not in your living room. Not in your living room.
We have a goal for our chat. We want it to be on topic and to the point and no ad hominem attacks and that kind of thing. And we
need to do that in general. We need to do that in general. I mean, look also what happened with the society in Hong Kong of the young people there. right? They knew what would come down upon them if they went over certain lines, and so they self-enforced their own lines and said, "We're here to make our point, not to do. We're here to do this and not this." And it was an incredible community started of people sharing things and benefiting each other and using technology and mesh networks and, you know, phenomenal efforts. We are a society on the net. Now, the net is the whole world, so it's all the good and all the bad of society. But we have to set our own rules here. We have to encourage the good and ignore or discourage the bad or discourage those who encourage the bad.
Meanwhile, federal agents are setting up fake Facebook pages in real people's names using real people's pictures from their real people's phones.
I guess my imposter is a federal agent.
Blows me away. A DEA agent commandeered a woman's identity. She was arrested but never convicted of a crime. They got her phone. They took pictures off her phone. They put them on the fake, some fairly sexy pictures on the fake Facebook account
with her child,
put pictures of her kids.
Oh my God.
She was apparently sentenced to probation, so she was convicted, but she pled guilty. While she was awaiting trial, the DEA used this stuff that they had garnered in the investigation to create a Facebook page that they friended felons. It was a honeypot. The woman, now 28, sued, accusing him in federal district court in New York of violating her privacy and placing her in danger. The government says, hey, when she was arrested, she gave express permission for the use of photographs contained on her phone simply by granting access to the phone and consenting to the use of that information to aid in an ongoing criminal investigation. Whether she actually knew that they were going to make a fake Facebook page is in dispute. We'll see.
I'm sure she did not.
I don't think that's what she thought.
I don't think that she imagined that was going to happen.
Yeah, or pictures of her kids.
Can we just all agree to leave the kids out of it? Can we just leave the kids out of it? I kind of feel like say whatever you want about me, Photoshop me to your heart's content. Just keep my kid out of it.
And that was one of the things Sierra complained about, is that her family was dragged into it. Let's take a break. We've got to find something fun.
Sorry, that was depressing. I didn't mean to give you a downer.
You? I'm the one who brought it up.
The whole thing.
Oh, I'm glad you did.
No, when I read that, I thought, we're talking about that today.
I'm glad.
Yeah. I do want to talk a little bit about what you can tell about you from your Facebook likes. Quite a bit. And we've got our change log coming up in just a little bit. Yay. But before we do, how about I tell you a little bit about making the best darn website you can make? One of the ways you can make the internet a better place is by creating your own content on the internet, your positive content, putting out your contribution, telling a little bit from your point of view. That means having your own website, and Squarespace makes it so easy. A better website for all. They've updated their technology now. Are they calling it Squarespace 7? I'll tell you, they've got engineers working all the time to create so it's the best hosting plus the best software. Yeah, they're calling it Squarespace 7 to allow you. And this is the beauty part. You don't have to do anything. You get the benefit of this. Their sites always are, you know, state-of-the-art stuff, mobile responsive design. They've got e-commerce on every template. Really good e-commerce, too. Really well done e-commerce. Of course, live chat and email 24/7 right from their offices in New York. So, you know, you're getting the best possible support. There is a great help site with webinars and videos and self-help articles. I'm just a big fan of Squarespace. So a couple of things. First of all, if you want to try it out, just go to squarespace.com. Click the Get Started button. You can play with it to your heart's content for two weeks. And there's no credit card required to do that. You know, if you're done, when you're done, you just leave and that's it. They won't contact you. However, if you do decide to buy, make sure you use the offer code TWIG, TWIG, to get 10% off and show your support for this week in Google. Squarespace.com. Try the new Squarespace 7. I think you'll like it. And as a special promotion for our show and for you, our audience, Squarespace is giving away a full year of its top premium level service. It's worth more than $288 to one of you, randomly selected. All you have to do is tweet, ready? Better Websites for All, and use the hashtag SquarespaceTwig at This Week in Google to be considered. If you currently have a Squarespace site, post your URL as well. We might talk about you in a future episode. I just got a tweet from somebody who won a year's worth of premium service from Squarespace and is very, very happy. We use it for our Inside Twit blog. Squarespace.com. Try it free. Tweet Better Websites for All with the hashtag SquarespaceTwig at This Week in Google. And we'll have a drawing of all the people who tweet, and maybe you'll be our winner. Details and information, rules for the contest are at our website, Inside, which is a Squarespace site. So you can all go there at once now, InsideTwit.tv. Inside.twit.tv. Squarespace.com. Bang the drum slowly. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for the Google Changelog.
The Google Changelog.
He says it so much better than that. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Gina Trapani with the latest from Google.
Well, I've run out of things to complain about regarding Google Voice because the one thing that I've always complained about, I think that all of us complain about, the one thing this would be a perfect product if, is getting resolved. Google Voice is finally supporting MMS, multimedia messages, baby. Photos in Google Voice across 100 different North American carriers. There's a but. Google's been working with a ton of carriers, including AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile.
And as Jeff would say, a really big butt.
There's a big red check mark size.
Start with a V. Is it a vut?
But.
It's a vut.
It doesn't work with Verizon.
Ah! 100 carriers, except Verizon.
Except Verizon, which is a big except, unfortunately. But, you know, so you'll get many MMS messages, not all of them, which is an improvement. I mean, before you got none.
Well, good. You won't go after over your bandwidth limits on Verizon then.
Yeah.
See? It's fine.
What is with Verizon? What is with them? All right, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm gonna save that rant for Jeff.
Yeah.
But we want to feed the fire a little bit more.
T-Mobile.
The Verizon fire.
T-Mobile.
A little update to Google Play, especially movies. You can now pre-order movies on Google Play. So this feature is only be available in the U.S., and although other countries will be added soon, Google says. It means that if you see a title that's going to come out on Google Play, you can pre-order it, and you don't get charged until it gets released, and you get an email letting you know that the movie then is in your library. So they're going to be shooting to offer things for pre-order that are like in theaters now. So this should hopefully.
You know what I want next, Gina?
What?
Here's what I want next. When there's some obscure, because I live way out in the suburbs, when there's some obscure foreign movie that I'm interested in that I'm never going to go into Manhattan to watch because I leave Manhattan to come home.
Right.
And if it's not going to be out on video for 9 months, I want to bookmark that in Google Play. So when it comes out, it says, "Hello, Bozo, it's here.
Yeah.
Your stupid, boring, foreign movie." And then, you know, that's actually useful. So next step, Google. We're never satisfied.
Yeah, I mean, my tastes are much less intellectual than yours, but there'll be times when I'll be like, you know, what's the next Hunger Games movie? Just do a, you know, a Google search for the next Hunger Games movie. And there's sometimes there'll be that remind me. A button, so I'll say, okay, yeah, remind me. They always come out in like November. And then it's exciting because whatever the week in November it gets released, it'll let you know. I don't know if that will work with the not huge blockbuster movies, though. I don't know if it'll work for your indie foreign films, but that should work for every movie, honestly. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, so Google Now can now surface your past and upcoming bills from your Gmail account.
That's going to drive people what? They know my bills? How could they possibly?
Yeah.
The Google app for Android and iOS it now has access to your Gmail account because you gave it access to your Gmail account. And if you get email with a payment due and an amount, information about a bill.
That's creepy.
you'll get a card in Google Now letting you know. I need help. Sometimes
I love this.
I automate everything, but every once in a while, there's that month where something happens and I just don't have enough money, so I'll take it. I'll take whatever reminders I can get.
I think the next step is to pay my bills, Google.
Just do it.
Just pay it.
Move the money. Do what you got to do.
Do whatever it takes.
Yep.
I had a thousand great reasons to get married, but number one was my wife handles my bills now because I was awful at it.
Yeah.
You got yourself a CEO as a girlfriend.
Let me tell you, nothing like it. So it's everybody should have somebody who understands money in their life.
Who does the money stuff in your house, Gina?
I actually really enjoy the personal finance stuff. So I do.
I thought you'd be the one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I enjoy organizing those things.
She can do arithmetic.
Something tells me I'm not as good at it as Lisa. So good job, Leo.
Well. Anybody's better than me. Have you ever had your water or your electricity turned off because you forgot to pay?
No. No. Okay.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, many times.
And you had plenty of money.
Oh, it's not that I didn't have the money. I forgot to pay.
Was it that
for
you
months.
Forgot or you said, oh, I'll do that tomorrow?
I don't know. I don't know.
Who's thinking about your water bill until you don't have water?
They get your attention when the water stops. And then you have to go down and say, I'm sorry, here's the money. Please turn my water on. Well, send a guy out on Monday, but it's Friday. That's when they work.
I do. I pretty much automate everything, but every once in a while I get like, oh, I have to transfer some money. Yeah, yeah.
I was using a service called PayTrust. I don't know if they're still – well, I know they're still around because I still pay them $10 a month for nothing. But they used to, where they were in Sioux City or Sioux Falls, Idaho, and I thought, why are they there? And then I realized because there's a big prison there, and all my bills were going to this prison, and being entered by prisoners.
Oh geez.
Oh my.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Anyway.
So reminders about your bills, so the Leo's water never gets turned off.
Thank you, Google. If you don't have a Lisa, at least you've got a Google.
Yeah, if you don't have Lisa, you have Google Now. I don't know. Google Now will never be as good as Lisa, but we're getting there.
She's amazing. Never misses a bill.
A little update to Chromecast. I think Jeff was kind of making fun of this a little bit last time. I think we talked about this a while ago, that it was on its way. You can basically set the images that your Chromecast shows, kind of like a screensaver or a slideshow.
Well, it already shows gorgeous pictures.
It does. It shows some gorgeous pictures, but now you can customize them to be your own photos, your own photo albums from Google Plus, or you can choose artwork from galleries and museums via the Google Cultural Institute. You can choose news and lifestyle images from the New York Times, The Guardian, and the U.S., or you can choose, I like this one, satellite imagery of some of the hardest to reach places on Earth from Google Maps. I like a good maps slideshow. So in order to do that, in your Chromecast app, open the Chromecast app on your phone or tablet and select backdrop from the left menu, and then you can choose what images you want to see. And Jeff, I see you just added something to the changelog here.
I just added something because I don't understand something. So somebody on Twitter, who was it here, the nice person on Twitter, Blankenship, I think it was, Brian Blankenship, said there was an update to Chromebook update. Makes it easy to juggle multiple accounts. And Brian said, we'll let Jeff Jarvis be the judge of its ease and functionality.
Well, but they've always been able to do that. I don't understand.
I don't know what's new about this.
When you first turn on your Chromebook, it shows you the...
Well, that's not easy. You should be able to go back and forth within one account. Within one session.
Maybe that's what they can do. Because I just log into my account, or there's a guest account, or you can have other accounts.
I horned my way into the changelog here.
Oh, I'm glad you did. A handful of Chromebook features.
SAML standard? Do you have any idea?
ASML.
The enhanced identity features primarily focused on enabling the SAML standard used by common enterprise. Oh, that's why I don't know what it is.
It's enterprise.
Enterprise authorization providers. Mm. So it sounds like this is a way for you to switch between your personal account and your organization's, your Google for work account easily using that enterprise standard. I actually don't know what SAML is.
Something security authorization markup language.
Oh, of course it's a markup language. Yeah. It's an IML.
Security assertion markup language.
enables users to bring their own Chromebooks to the office.
Okay. I bet you it means you could authenticate with some.
If you click on the link on the bottom of that.
Yeah.
There's a link to the Google.
Single sign-on solution.
Right. More manageable for IT. Okay, so they want to bring Chromebooks into the enterprise that's already using.
Yeah, it's enterprise.
Google sign-on. Yeah.
Enterprise. Yep. All right. Never mind.
That's neat. Yeah, no, that counts. It's a change. It counts. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Jeff.
All right.
That's all I got.
That is the Google Change Log. Thank you, Gina Trapani. So, how much does Facebook really know about you? A study by researchers at the University of Cambridge gathered data from 60,000 Facebook users and, with their likes alone, predicted a variety of personal traits, including gender, religion, sexual orientation, and substance abuse. So I thought I'd try this. The article in Slate talking about this explains something kind of weird. If you like curly fries, you're likely to be intelligent. Now, that seems counterintuitive, since those things will kill you. But it turns out that people swim in packs. And so mm-hmm. at some point, somebody who was really smart did a like on curly fries, and their equivalently smart friends, because smart people seem to like each other, were influenced by that. They liked curly fries, and this is an actual signal. And eventually, enough smart people liked curly fries that it seems more likely that if you like curly fries, you'll be smart. Huh?
Well, I would say Facebook doesn't know about me.
Well, let me see, because I ran the program. They have two versions of this. There's one called youarewhatyoulike.com, and there's one called applymagicsauce.com. They're both from Cambridge. Apply Magic Sauce gives you a JSON feed of your traits, but which you can parse, you know, in your brain. But this one is a little bit easier. So apparently, I am conservative and traditional, not liberal and artistic.
Same here.
That seems wrong to me.
It's way wrong, and it says, by the way, that I am, because one of my conservative and traditional friends is Chris Hughes.
Yeah, well, I've made the mistake of befriending some Republicans. There's my problem right there. By the way, Alex Gumpel, you're my most liberal and artistic friend, as is Will Harris. How about that, huh? You're very liberal and artistic. Did you know that, Alex? Based on your likes. I am well organized. Apparently, Facebook does not know about those bills.
We just argued against that, didn't we? We can't even do our bills.
I am not spontaneous and flexible. I'm shy and reserved too. Yeah. But you notice these aren't overwhelming percentages one way or the other. So it's not a strong signal, right? And also, how I use Facebook may not reflect my real personality. I am assertive and competitive.
Hey, Gina, don't go do this. You're going to be the same.
We're all the same. We would be, because we're in a cohort.
Yeah, we're in a cohort.
I am calm and relaxed as opposed to emotional.
Well, I'm not.
Really? What a shock. My most calm and relaxed friends are Kevin Rose and Steve Wozniak. It says so right here. Personality twins, Jeff Jarvis, you showed up.
Nice.
And David Pogue, I think. Jeff Jarvis, David Pogue, Carly Perkins, who works for us, Martin Sargent from Tech TV, and Jenny Moyer, who's a friend. And then my opposite, Alex Gumpel. Well, look at him. Dan Farber of CNET. Kevin Rose. Wait a minute. He's my opposite? So this is very interesting. I don't find this very accurate.
Randy Zuckerberg.
Who is your?
Randy Zuckerberg.
Is who you are?
My personality twin, yeah.
I don't use Facebook so much, but I really liked analyzewords.com, which looks at Twitter.
See, you do. Well, in fact, I saw you and Neil talking about whether you're analytics or not at ThinkUp.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
So what should I – Analyze Words, was it?
Yeah, analyzewords.com. You pop in your Twitter handle, and it tells you – it kind of gives you – it does a personality analysis.
This
so
stuff
it says
is very that, close to astrology, I think.
Yeah. Well, it says that I'm very upbeat, I'm very worried, and I'm a little bit angry and not so depressed.
Well, on Twitter, I'm extremely angry and extremely upbeat. I'm highly plugged in, highly personable. I am only an average Spacey Valley girl.
I think I got high on Spacey Valley girl.
I think this is so bogus. And the apparently my thinking style is very high for analytic. That's the strongest signal.
Mm-hmm.
And look at all the tweets it's analyzed. Huh. Then you can analyze a friend and compare yourself. I don't know.
I'm plugged in.
You are. Let me compare myself to InfoSec Taylor Swift. She's very angry.
Yeah, we were having this discussion about whether or not ThinkUp is analytics. I mean, certainly it is, but we were talking more about how that really that turns off because it's a consumer product, but it's called analytics. There's like some dissonance there, right? Because, you know, John Gruber actually said, you know, when you say social analytics, I hear tool for D-bags.
Yeah.
Which I think is like,
it's like one step above SEO.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, right. And he compared it to SEO. That exactly. He said that, you know, there's plenty of good, worthwhile SEO, but the word has become so sullied at this point, and that's happened to analytics. And we've had a really hard time explaining what ThinkUp is. It's like, no, it's not an analytics dashboard that, you know, a brand with a CMO is going to use. It's for regular people, but regular people aren't asking for, looking for, or relate to analytics. So, yeah, we changed our tagline to daily insights about you and your friends.
Insights are better.
I think so.
And it isn't exactly analytics because it's not analytical in that sense. I mean, you don't get a graph or anything. It's just like little insights, little nuggets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have more followers than 89% of the people I follow. That's kind of an interesting. That's a new one. You just added that one.
That is a new one. Yeah. So 2,000 of your friends would
reach a bigger audience if I retweeted them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I replied to that guy a lot. I don't even know who he is. Probably a troll. And here's
what
the...
What was your percentage, Leo?
Huh?
What was your percentage?
89%. I have more followers than 89% of the people I follow.
Maybe 4%.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's our, you know, with great power...
comes
insight.
Great responsibility.
Yeah, yeah.
My most popular tweet 4 years ago... one word, imagine.
That must have been...
Probably the 20th anniversary of John Lennon's killing.
That must have been.
I would guess.
That must have been it.
Or 30th. Yeah, it would have been 30th. Holy cow.
Yeah, wow.
Anyway.
I just learned from Gina that I'm ready for Hillary is following me.
I'm ready for Hillary. Right on.
I am.
Is that Sir Edmund Hillary, conqueror of Everest?
Craig Newmark wrote a great post yesterday.
Yes.
And my favorite line was, not the John Locke on Lost.
Not that John Locke.
It was just.
I like it. More bizarre news from the HTC announcement. They have announced a new camera called the HTC Re. I kid you not. This is a little black plastic periscope, kind of a GoPro, $199.
But they make a point of saying if you're gonna climb a mountain, you use the GoPro. This is just for you nebbishes who don't.
Yeah, if you don't ride crazy bicycles off. It's a strange form factor.
What do you do with that?
You tap the button on the back to take a still. You long press it to record a video in 1080p, or you front press the button on the device to record in slow-mo. So it's a very simple UI. There's no viewfinder. I don't know how you then get... the camera can automatically back up to Google Drive, Dropbox, or your phone when you're connected to Wi-Fi.
The camera connects to Wi-Fi or the camera?
Yeah, this is an Internet of Things play. You're going to see more and more of this stuff where this stuff sits on a network and then the intelligence is not in the camera. It's in the phone.
Yes.
And then they're both on the same network. And then the phone goes, oh, I see my Re, and let me send the pictures to Dropbox or whatever.
I still contend you're going to end up wearing your computer. It's going to be that big.
Yeah.
And it's gonna, you're gonna have one computer with a great battery in it, and it's gonna talk to peripherals, and everything else in life becomes a peripheral.
I want to replace my spleen with a computer. Can I do that?
Who needs a spleen anyway?
You don't need the spleen. It's just kind of.
Why do I have to vent it all the time then?
You're venting your spleen again, huh?
I don't know what that means. I don't want to ask.
No, don't. It's not. It's.
It's okay, Gina. It's okay. It's okay.
It's okay.
You ever heard that phrase?
It's okay.
It's okay.
He's venting his spleen.
It just means you're
okay.
You're
it's a phrase. Okay.
It's ranting.
I was okay. Worried that it was a Jeff medical procedure. I wasn't sure.
It's not one of those prostate moments. Don't worry.
Okay. Okay.
but you know, now that you've raised that, we could go down there, but we won't.
Yes, vent your spleen. Google tells me.
So,
figurative.
James Fry. Or is it Frey? How do you pronounce his name?
I think it's Fry.
Fry or Frey? Spelled Frey. I liked his novel, which was A Million Little Pieces. Was that what it was called?
Yeah, he's the dude that like made up a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he got, it was a really good, it was supposed to be a memoir, but it really was just a novel. And gotcha. So for some reason, I don't really understand, he got in trouble for that.
Well, because Oprah loved him, and he came on Oprah, and then he had to go back on Oprah and get beat up by Oprah because he lied to Oprah.
You know what? It was a really good novel.
But he went with the marketing part around it being a memoir, right? Yeah. He didn't direct everybody.
I guess he's rehabilitated now because Google's working with him on a project which will combine. What do they call it? Transmedia. It combines interactive novels with augmented reality games. This is the next step for Ingress. By the way, we have a bunch of Ingress devotees around here. How many miles have you walked, Jeff, on Ingress? Like he said, I've lost 173 pounds or something.
Wow.
It's always in kilometers, so he never knows.
We don't know. It's kilometers. How many kilometers?
91 in the last couple of weeks.
He's done 91 kilometers in the last couple of weeks.
91 this month.
Playing that stupid game where you try to take over post offices and IHOPs. So the next thing is going to be Endgame, The Calling. Augmented reality interactive game. The idea is to build a whole world around these novels. So they're going to have puzzles, but I guess they'll be in the real world.
The video right there, she is not a good actress.
Okay, let's see.
Dad was right.
She's acting right now.
Oh, boy.
I didn't want to believe him, but he was right. The world has been mutating. For the last 10,000 years, the world has been mutating.
Is it the actor or is it the script, really?
Unrecognizable. It's broken.
They found each other.
He was always telling me.
Okay, I can't watch anymore. What is going to happen?
She's really, God bless her, she's bad.
Oh, man.
I'm sure she's a very nice person.
I'm sure she's very nice, and she got a big, she's about as lucky as the runway models on the
She's doing is hard, though. I mean,
hard, I agree.
It's a terrible script, and she's trying to make it real in a camera, and there's like five Google guys looking at her.
Yeah.
So, it's hard.
It's hard.
She needs a James Cameron to come in there and work with her.
It's hard to say that the world is metamorphosizing and...
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in that. I would be just as bad as that.
So they have a site.
Niantic Labs.
Do anything until you buy the book.
Yeah.
When you buy the book, it's very unclear to me what actually happens here and what you get.
Wait a minute. Now, this is at Niantic Project. It's something called the Jarvis Resurrection.
What?
What? Let's click on this and see. Parting words number 5.
That means I'm dead. Thank you very much.
Wait a minute. The Jarvis virus? What the hell is that? It turns all the blue ones green. It's very rare. Wow. You are a very... Oh, wait a minute. Bring it back. Bring back the Jarvis virus. There it is. The Google guys, they have something with the name Jarvis, don't they?
No, it's not me.
It's because of Iron Man? Oh.
It's because it's Iron Man, right?
Oh, that's nothing. Okay, she's still talking, but now she's stopped. And now it's ancient societies. I don't know what it means.
The world is changing.
It's mutating.
Dad was right.
Dad was right. Anything else?
I was an unlikable person as a critic.
Have you read Mr. Schmidt's new book?
I started it.
And
I went to speak at Google, and all I got was one book. It was a sticking book, though.
How Google Works, Eric Schmidt and Jonathan Rosenberg.
It's very much a management ebook.
Yeah, see, that's not my thing.
That's the thing.
So if they would actually say how Google works, I would read that.
Go look up Larry's prelude. What am I trying to say? Forward is good.
His forward? All right.
Yeah.
Does he actually talk about, I mean, is it just celebrating all the awesomeness that Google is? Or are there any lessons learned? Are there any failures where they, you know, what they came out of it? Or is this just about how great Google is?
How do you get creative people? No, it's more presumption. Because you want to be us, you might ask, what would we do?
It's been done.
This is how you can do that. This is how you hire really smart people. This is how you do...
There's chapters called Culture, Strategy, Talent, Decisions, Communications, Innovation. The funny thing is the Wall Street Journal assigned Steven Sinofsky, the failed architect of Windows 8, to the review. And now we know what Sinofsky's been up to. It's actually the shortest thing Sinofsky's ever written. He must have had somebody really edit it.
Let me go to the Larry. I've got it here. Because they did a half price deal if you pre-ordered it on Play, so I bought it. And then I
That's
got a free
not
copy.
Nice to remainder a book before it even comes out.
If you go, by the way, to Jonathan Rosenberg's Eric Schmidt's Google Plus feed, he has a really funny cartoon.
All right. I'm up for that.
Larry says. Over time, I've learned, surprisingly, that it's tremendously hard to get teams to be super ambitious.
Oh, yeah.
It turns out most people haven't been educated in this kind of moonshot thinking. They tend to assume that things are impossible rather than starting from real-world physics and figuring out what's actually possible. It's why we put so much energy into hiring independent thinkers at Google and setting big goals. Because if you hire the right people and have big enough dreams, you'll usually get there. I envision this kind of grin now. And even if you fail, you'll probably learn something important.
All right, I'm bored. Moving along.
I would like them to hire a creative thinker who can come up with a word other than moonshot.
Yeah.
Can we make that happen? Yeah. I'm tired of hearing moonshot. Let's come up with a different word.
I want them to hire a creative thinker who can figure out how to do multiple accounts. I yelled when I spoke at Google last week at the work group. And I said I'm going to start there. I'm going to berate you people. I want multiple accounts to work well, and it doesn't work well. I'm pissed.
And did they? What was their response? Did they look at their shoes?
I guess that's why they made the announcement today, huh? It must have worked. Yeah. Did you also see? Interesting too. I think Leo is similar to the Endgame thing. Is the Google doing cross media, cross platform marketing for the movie Interstellar? And this starts to show how Google Plus becomes a monetizable thing.
So not an ad, but native content.
Interstellar.withgoogle.com.
Interstellar.withgoogle.com.
There's a
story
title
there too.
This is a transmedia. The idea of transmedia, Lucas is a perfect example. Is you have a world, a universe like the Star Wars universe, but you give people a variety of ways to get involved with it, not just watching the movie, not just reading a comic book or a novelization, but also action figures, video games, Lego pieces, whatever you could think of that will get people introduced to the world. And then, of course, they consume the rest of it. So what do? Launch Space Hunt. All right.
I'm going to let you do this. I'm going to watch you do it.
What is it? Now what? Here we are at Saturn. distance from the Earth is a lot. If you had to walk here in Ingress, star HD 11506 identified the universe. Oh, and now I can download this. This is like wallpaper? It is. So is this going to be a movie, Interstellar?
Yes.
So now it's just by doing this, it's convinced me to download this crappy wallpaper.
Remember those days when you had wallpaper?
Wallpaper. Oh, wait a minute. Back to the moon. What's this? That's not the moon, Leo. Back to the Death Star. The universe is always expanding. Keep searching. Jupiter's red spot is actually a massive high-pressure storm. It's been going on for hundreds of years.
Oh, now, no, not Matthew McConaughey. I cannot abide him. Have you seen his Cadillac
commercial? That commercial. No, it's not a Cadillac. It's a Lincoln.
Lincoln. Oh, my. See how effective it is? Oh, my Lord.
That is a little bit of an annoying commercial. I loved him in True Detective. I think he's a good actor. But he is kind of an annoying person. I don't know what this is. And companies every 10 years that companies come back to this. Yeah. We'll make this mysterious puzzle.
You want to immerse yourself in us.
You'll immerse yourselves in, and then we can sneak ads onto your system. Remember the BMW ad that was at the very bottom of the page?
Yeah.
And you'd say, what is this strange thing? And you'd click it. This has been going on since the internet was invented. Now I can hear the golden record. So some of this is real content. Oh, well, just push me to YouTube.
I wish to extend greetings and friendly wishes to all
of the Voyager
Voyager and receive this message.
The sounds of Earth.
Do not come to Earth. It is very boring.
By the time V'ger exited the galaxy, we no longer were using vinyl records, so we should have sent a CD.
Salvin, a member of the Committee on Outer Space, and we believe, say, this committee good for we.
My dear friends in outer space, as you probably know, my country is situated on the west coast of the continent of Africa.
I don't think they know that.
I don't think they know that.
Otherwise, yeah.
What's a country?
Continent? Well, Africa? What's that? Samsung, 60% profit drop as sales slow.
Yikes.
People are finally catching on to the crap that is the Galaxy Phone series. Or no. That's mean. I shouldn't say it that way. But I feel that way deep down.
We couldn't tell.
But that's weird. I mean, I thought you couldn't stop them. They were a juggernaut. They spent more than $1 billion in ads last year.
We talked about a little bit last night on All About Android. They're kind of getting hit by both ends, right? Their high end phones are available much cheaper from new manufacturers. You know, the OnePlus One, for example, and also the iPhone. Now that you've got a bigger iPhone, people might be switching.
But this happened. This is a prognostication. It hasn't happened yet.
It is going to happen. But it is. It's an issue of they're not selling phones.
Right.
They're just not selling phones.
Right.
Which is amazing given the amount of marketing and advertising they do.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, are you ready for a tip on a number? I have a tool. Our show today brought to you by GoToMeeting from Citrix. Oh, we love Citrix GoToMeeting, the proven solution for meeting and collaborating online. Right now, if you sign up for GoToMeeting, you'll get another Citrix product free for 6 months. Communicating in business is so important. It's how we solve problems, how we get things done. When communication doesn't happen, when it breaks down, that's when you're in trouble. With GoToMeeting, you're always in touch, even when your clients and colleagues are anywhere in the world, all over the world. The GoToMeeting lets you share the same screen, so you're literally on the same page. And with the built-in video conferencing, you get crystal clear video on your webcam. And since everybody's got a webcam, whether it's an iPad, an iPhone, a desktop, or a laptop, it really is great. It helps your team work smarter anywhere they are. Sign up for GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Don't wait. This offer ends just a few days hence, October 10th. You still can try it free, but the 6 months free of another product only for a couple more days to October 10th. GoToMeeting.com. Let's start things off with Gina Trapani and her tip of the week.
So my tip of the week is an Android Wear app that I really like. And I'm actually ripping this off from Aaron Karsten, who was on All About Android last night. This was his app in the arena. It's called Wear Mini Launcher. It's a launcher for all your Wear apps that you pull over to the side, and you get a grid of icons in order to launch your apps, right? So by default... on Wear, you know, you have to go to OK Google and then slide down and then go through all these menus and then go to more, and it's a bunch of swiping and this Wear Mini Launcher, actually, just you swipe in from the left, you get a grid of icons, you can launch whatever app that you want, and I use the stopwatch, I got Flopsy Droid.
Flopsy Droid, what's that?
Yeah, it's like basically Flappy Bird, but for your watch. I got Google Keep, your settings. I've got a baby lock app, which is really what I needed. I need to just be able to launch that baby lap, that baby lock, as quickly as possible. because the Moto 360 will not have the same fate as the M8 had. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. If you have Android Wear, check it out. You know, I sort of, and I have to say, I'm backtracking here. I sort of mocked the Apple Watch a little bit because I said, oh, look at those grid of icons. That's crazy. That's stupid. I got to say, this is basically a grid of icons of your third-party apps, but I really like it. It's a really quick way to launch something rather than have to go through the regular, the default rigmarole that's not, you know, a default Google app that's in a card for Google Now. So that's a Wear Mini Launcher, and it is free in the Play Store.
I agree, and I use it.
Installed it.
I really like
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
As long as we're talking about wear stuff, Intellicom makes some watch faces, customizable watch faces, which I really like. On the Moto 360, it comes with its own really pretty nice watch faces, including a dual face that lets you do two times. But this is from Intellicom. You could put the Ferrari logo or the Google logo there. I actually have an LCD that shows the East Coast time. I showed this earlier. Battery life on my watch. It's free. It's really great. Intellicom, I think it's called Wear Faces. But I like the fact that it's really this is we're starting to see customizations for this. For instance, you have to download a little program, but normally if you say take a note, it goes to Google Keep, but you can have it use Evernote. Phil Lyman was on the triangulation on Monday. He told me there's just a little, it's in the Play Store, a little Evernote stub that doesn't even show up as an app on your app launcher. But somehow modifies Evernote so that that can be the default note application. I'd like to see more of those. That's really great.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My watch, by the way, this kind of thing happens. Yesterday, I realized I haven't had any notifications on it all day.
Oh.
And I couldn't get it going. So it had a little mute thing on. I couldn't figure out how to get it off. So I had to rebuild the watch. But
you slide it. Okay, let me just show you.
Yeah, you slide down.
You slide it down.
What it was.
Okay, so you got the watch face. Two things to know about with the watch face. You already know, you double tap it or just say, okay, Google. If you press and hold, oops, never mind. I wasn't talking to you for this time. This one time, you press and hold, you could change the watch face.
I knew that, right?
Yeah. And if you slide down, you can mute or unmute notifications.
Oh, never mind. Well, how do I? Now it's not unmuting. I can't get it to unmute.
Well, that's
there it is. I don't mute it.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay, got it. All right, thank you. Never mind.
I actually am. Are you guys liking your Moto 360?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, when we were in London, we used it for navigation. So you can, have Google Maps. You tell it, navigate to the Tower of London, and then it will show you an alert. Okay, Google, navigate home. It'll show you an alert. As you get close to the corner, you got to turn on. Let me just put my home address in here. And I'm going to navigate. You can choose driving, bicycling. I'll choose walking. Navigate. And now what it's going to do is calculate the route. And as you're walking, your wrist will buzz when it's time to make a turn. It'll even talk to you. So it tells you which direction to go, And then I think this, you guys with glass are probably already familiar with this, but I think that's really a good use for the watch.
Yeah, that's neat. Yeah. That's neat. I was, at first I was like, wait, do I need to just walk like this, you know, the whole time? And no,
no, it buzzes you.
Walk the direction you're supposed to go in, and then it buzzes you when you're supposed to turn. That's really
it
nice.
It was great for getting around London where we didn't know where we were going. It really worked well. Your number of the week, Mr. Jeffrey Jarvis.
Right, I'm on. Okay, so I'm going to be a boring old poof talking about my favorite topic, the right to be forgotten.
Okay.
Just a little number update here. So far, 135,000 requests representing 470,000 URLs. This is the new part. Google has refused 30% of them. About 50% have been taken down, and the rest required more details. This comes from a Register story talking about how some Irish people were complaining that Google didn't do what they wanted.
Well, there. So there.
There.
My tool comes from Paul Thurrott on Windows Weekly, of all things. It's a Microsoft product that is kind of cool. Microsoft Zim, spelled X-I-M, a free download. It's for Windows Phone or Android. I put it on my Android. And you're going to like this. In fact, if you check your Gmail, Gina, you might have a Zim invitation from me. What it does is allows you to share pictures and control that share on your phone. The other person does not need to have Zim installed. They just need to check the I can text or email, and I'm going to create a new Zim. I can get the Zim from, if you show my phone, I can choose it from my camera roll. There it is. Camera roll, OneDrive, because it's a Microsoft product. Dropbox, Facebook, Instagram. I'm going to choose my London slideshow. These are pictures I took in London. Select them all. I'm going to have them go to Gina and Paul, and let's start it. And now, in theory, you don't even have to be on the same network, and you don't have to have Zim installed. You should get a text, and it's web-based. Oh, I think we picked them. And now it's started.
There you go.
And it's web-based, and so you'll get a link to a website, and then I control the slideshow. Isn't that cool?
Very cool.
Are you getting it? Did you get it?
I'm trying to find. I haven't gotten the email.
Would it come to your Gmail? Maybe I screwed up. I couldn't get Paul to see it either. But this is nice because you don't have to hand your phone around the table. You can just add your friends. If they're in your contact list, it's quite easy. And then you can just show them your pictures.
Weird. I didn't see the email.
I don't know. Maybe it doesn't work. It's free to try.
I searched email.
Maybe I might have done it to the wrong address. Oops.
Very cool, though.
Yeah. XIM, Microsoft Zim. All right, that's it. We're done. Thank you very much, lady and gentleman. No iOS. Sorry, folks. Gina Trapani is at ThinkUp. That's a great place to go where you get your free ThinkUp trial account. And get insights into what you're sharing on Facebook and Twitter, and make yourself a better sharer.
And I'm blogging again at my old domain, which is new again, scribbling.net. Yeah, I'm actually doing the Ohm's 30-day blogging challenge. I'm 3 days in. And actually today I got a pass because my talk from XOXO got released on YouTube. So it's now on my blog. So yeah, I decided smarterwear sounded too much like underwear. You got me on that, Leo.
This
is my new site.
I'm so mean.
Oh, cool.
But this is my XOXO talk is there on my blog, and I've got a transcript of the talk if you like to read instead of watch. And a couple other posts, just little things. What's going on?
Scribbling.net?
Yep, that was my first blog ever that I started in 2001. The domain was anyway. So going back to old new first principles.
Very cool. You know, I didn't mention, but we had the with known people on, and I actually set up a with known blog at leoville.net. I really like this. The old idea. This is you post on your own site, and then it syndicates it out to Facebook or whatever. And so I've been posting pictures and stuff there. It's kind of like a Tumblr, but what's cool about it is when you do post something, you can have it go out to Twitter, Facebook, Flickr, and I imagine they will add more in time. And Foursquare, you can even do check-ins via OpenStreetMap.
Yeah, you know, I've been seeing your posts around the different networks and seeing that they're originating from the You're With Known site. Yeah. And I have to say that they're really, they look really good. They look very native. They don't look like they're syndicated. Like, it just, I really like how you've been, how it's, it looks like the software works really well.
I think so. I mean, it's very early days. It's an open source project. But I said it's all you need is a LAMP server. You do have to have PHP 5.4, a fairly recent version. That was a little stumbling block at first. Thanks to Bear, who helped me set that up, we were able to get that going. It's primitive. It's not. It's early days. There's lots of features I'd like to see. But I like the idea of posting on my site. The pictures live on my site. The posts live on my site, but they get syndicated out to Facebook and Twitter and Flickr. And I think that's
very
a good
cool
way to do it. Yeah. Let's see. We're done. Mr. Jeff Jarvis. Oh, he's gone. Well, bye, Jeff.
I heard the sad Hangouts goodbye sound.
Jeff Jarvis, he is professor of journalism at City University of New York, the author of What Would Google Do? Public Parts, a couple of great books, Gutenberg the Geek, which is an Amazon single, and he blogs at buzzmachine.com and is really a public intellectual, somebody who's really out there in the world and talking about heavy stuff, deep stuff, even though people may not like it. He's holding his own. Thank you all for being here. We do This Week in Google Wednesday afternoons, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time. That's 2000 UTC, at least for another month till our time changes. And I hope you'll stop by live and watch the show. But if you can't, on-demand audio and video are available after the fact at twit.tv/twig or wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes and all the other Instacast, Dog Catcher, Pocket Casts, you know, all of those. And oh, don't forget, we have some really nice Twit apps created by some of our third-party developers on iOS, Android, Windows Phone, Roku, yes. So make sure you look on your mobile device for Twit. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on This Week in Google.